Are you sure we got a new show? Because we could just listen to Nickelback and hate ourselves.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When are we kicking off with Nickelback?
Damn, we get some high quality meth up in this. Tell you what, you ever bring meth in here, we don't have to do it. I'm just gonna say, you ever get meth in here, we don't have to do it. We can open with Nickelback.
What if I just get the ingredients?
Well, you check the cupboard.
Because I'm not going to be knocking on your door one day and see you in a button-up and tiny whiteys all Walter White style.
All right, well, just I don't know. Can you just Google the ingredients to math real quick? I don't know what's in it!
Google, yes, I should totally Google how to make meth.
They're not going to get you right.
What?
They're just going to put you on a watch list.
How about this?
No, I'm not Googling. I Googled Fat Catcher. You Google this. By the way, you should be recording right now. Just letting you know.
Maybe I am.
You're missing. I know you're not. I know you're not. Oh, well, kids, never mind what you did there on GP40. We're here to talk about wholesome goodness, like the World Cup.
And fat catchers.
And fat people, yes.
Just the words, fat catchers.
Here today on EB4D.
Oh, come on. You can't start it that soon.
Okay.
You just gotta let it linger.
No. They
fat catchers.
For a second there, I thought you were pausing to play that song, Do You Have to Let It Linger? Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger?
What? What are you even doing?
Do you not know that chick song from the 90s?
Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to? Do you have to?
It's like an Alanis Morissette song or some crap.
No.
Nope, not ringing any bells.
When I wake in the morning,
no, we already did that one. We already did that.
Your heart was in my head.
Fat Catchers.
That could be a great band's name.
What kind of music you play as Fat Catchers?
Fat Catchers is indie punk.
Indie punk?
Indie punk.
I was thinking indie country. I just invented a genre, by the way. I just invented a genre.
No, because like some sort of folk would fall into indie country.
Yeah, but I'm thinking you do like Garth Brooks covers.
To listen, because
Garth Brooks is kind of fat.
Fat.
I don't know. I guess you could do. All right. You do Toby Keith covers, but in the style of Far East, like mandolins and like sitars.
What are you even talking about now?
Indie country. It's like outlaw country.
No, it's not. Actually, it's nothing like that.
But it's with an Eastern influence.
Son, we don't play sitars here in this neck of the woods. We don't play none of them, and we don't sure as heck play no didgeridoos.
I know that.
However, didgeridoos would make country so much better.
Just about anything would make country better. Actual songwriting. actual musical talent infusion.
Disclaimer, we're talking about modern country. There were a lot of very talented country artists back in the day. We understand.
Yeah, seriously, Johnny Cash
I was about
is
to say,
awesome.
God rest Johnny Cash's soul.
A lot of these people are still alive. Willie Nelson, Chris Christopherson, of course. I mean, obviously, you know we don't hate country if you've listened to this before, as our outro is, of course,
Jerry Reed.
Seriously, it's not like we hate country. We just don't like Taylor Swift.
Well, then I think we're okay for the... I don't think that's country.
Well, that's what they call it.
I don't even... I have friends who like country music, and they don't claim her.
I know.
And pop doesn't claim her.
Yeah, well, Well, she shows up to all the award shows. So.
Joe Jonas certainly don't claim her. Hey! Oh, topical humor from 2011.
Yeah.
Up top.
Oh, maybe you should have gotten some John Mayer there. I don't know.
John Mayer claims everyone.
Actually, you know what? Keeping the theme of the podcast, Tim Tebow didn't claim her. Or maybe it was the other way around. Hard to say which one's still a virgin.
Speaking of which, did you see the picture? They're apparently doing, like, the SEC Nation, you know, the SEC Network's College Game Day.
Yeah.
Did press, like, they did their photo shoot today.
Oh, yeah?
There's totally a picture of Paul Feinbaum resting his head on Tim Tebow's shoulder.
Like, literally? Or, like, that's just the way they did a picture together? Like Paul Feinbaum had his head leaning in Tim Tebow's photo his neck. Literally? You know, I didn't listen to Paul back when Tebow was a thing in the SEC. I wonder...
No one did!
I've never really... And Paul doesn't talk about it because obviously Tebow isn't in the SEC anymore. And Paul only talks about current issues, but... Was Paul a Tebow fan?
I have no idea.
Because technically Paul's just whoever's the best in the SEC at the moment is who he covers. So I have to assume...
No, if they're in the state of Alabama...
Well, yeah, there is that too, but he plays Homer for the SEC quite well, sir.
Yes, but Alabama first and foremost.
Yes, and Kentucky basketball.
Good, sir, and don't well.
Yes, Kentucky basketball. I've never heard him talk about any other SEC basketball team other than Kentucky.
There's the picture, by the way.
Oh my goodness,
that's fantastic.
Is that photoshopped?
No,
that's just a weird angle. I don't know. Why did he take that? I mean, he is leaning in hard.
Oh, another great thing from today. Topical right now is NBA free agency.
Oh, yeah. It's dead. It's not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah,
it's been open for 2 weeks now, and nobody important's moved.
By the way, we're 7 minutes in, and we're still kind of talking, so I'm just going to lay some theme music right here. You can listen to it right here. What was the song you said you wanted?
House.
All right, then you're listening to the theme from House right now from, what is it, Massive Attack?
Massive Attack, yes. It's called Teardrop.
So we're going to do it college radio style. Yeah. You are currently listening to Massive Attack, the theme from House.
And next up on NPR, we have Starving Children in Uganda and how you can help benefit them by knitting them wool sweaters. Out of alpaca.
All right, let's not kill it too much.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, you heard the rumor today that LeBron James was having his car moved, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, that was a rather huge rumor on Twitter today. My favorite humorous response to that was, meanwhile, no activity at Chris Bosh's house, and it's a picture of the gates to Jurassic Park.
Oh,
and then there was, meanwhile, at Greg Popovich's couch. Her house, and it's someone towing like a, I don't know what, like a Pontiac Bonneville for the mid-90s. Because he totally does drive one of those.
Actually, it should just be him polishing his 5 Larry O'Brien trophies.
Oh, one? Three, four, five
Larry O'Brien
That was another great joke. That was another great joke yesterday at the World Cup. With someone posted a Vine or an Instagram video, I forget what it was. LeBron, do you remember how many goals Brazil had scored against them? Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five.
I have to give another shout out to someone who commented on the number of goals scored. Shout out to our friend Mr. Daniel. Germany could have put up as many points as Florida did against FSU.
Yeah.
By the way, Germany put up college SEC college football numbers in that game.
Greatest conference in America.
Oh. Yeah, they had a
lead. And Europe.
They had elite defense.
Yeah. My favorite.
Yeah, they had that SEC.
One
speed.
Of my favorite things, I almost wish that they scored 6 goals, because there's that epic gif from The Dark Knight
when the police officer who's watching Joker in the interrogation room says, "And you killed six of my friends," and then the Joker mouths, "Six." And he does that. That was great. Florida, Georgia, a couple years ago, that year where Florida just had insane turnover luck, and they went into the Florida, Georgia game number two unbeaten, and Georgia beat them. And Florida had six turnovers game. I remember, I believe I was on Every Day Should Be Saturday, which is a tremendous site. Spencer Hall does a good job. You should check that site out. And someone said, Florida had six turnovers today, and it was the gif of six. And I just couldn't stop laughing for a solid 5 minutes.
Or we could just go with the old standby six. Definitely
six. Definitely six.
But there's
something about that gif, though. There's something about that. The sarcasm that Heath Ledger has in that character right there is so good.
One more thing that would have made it better, if they could have scored either of the teams total in the Florida-Georgia Southern game. Well, how many points did Florida score in that Georgia?
20.
20? Oh, it would have been tough.
Florida scored a lot of points in that game, buddy.
And Georgia,
by their standards.
And Georgia Southern didn't complete a pass.
And Georgia Southern scored 26.
Oh, if it somehow, some weird miracle, they could have scored more points than Florida did in Georgia Southern. Or they could have just scored more points than Florida in any of the games last year.
You know, it was amazing. I was looking back. I was just kind of looking back at college football clips from the past season today, and of course Florida, Georgia Southern came up, and I mean, just beyond my sheer glee at watching Florida lose, I mean, that's a big deal.
It is.
I mean, especially Florida, who since 1990 has just been a college football powerhouse, has, I mean, about as bad of a season as imaginable, except, you know, they still beat Brett Bielema. But,
well, everybody did last year.
But I mean, and yeah, Florida had injury problems. But the thing is, we have to remember, a year ago, Florida had to block a punt for a touchdown to keep from going to overtime with Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a team...
It's
mirror images. It's complete... Florida lived a bizarro world in the 2013 season compared to where they were in 2012. You look at Florida's turnover ratio, you look at the fumbles that fell their way, and I mean, we all know, and even smart stat people in football have come to admit, turnovers are literally luck in football. Especially, well, fumbles are, fumbles. Should I say. Yeah, interceptions aren't luck, but fumbles are. If it's a tipped ball, yes, it's luck.
I gotta give that somewhere between 8 to 10% as luck on those interceptions, and because let's face it, Auburn, Georgia last year. Come on, that play? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Luck.
But yes, but for the most part, interceptions usually. Either a bad read by a quarterback or a skillful play from a corner.
Yes.
But you look at how Florida dominated the turnover ratio. You look at how their offense still wasn't productive. Their defense was still solid but wasn't always winning games for them. Florida lived in that 2012 season by the turnover battle. And in 2013, they died by it.
They just died because... In 2013, they had even less talent than they did in 2012.
Well, yeah, and injuries had something to do with that.
Just talking injuries. Straight
don't,
up,
don't make me excuse make for Florida. But.
Players, no, this is not an excuse.
No, not for you.
No, listen, hear me out. This is not an excuse. This is putting blame on the recruitment that Will Muschamp has done for that team. He has not stocked the cupboards well. He has done a horrible job with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, this is a travesty. I'm laughing right now. But the way you're doing it, you're excusing him. Oh, they didn't get the drops here. They didn't get the bounce here. They didn't get a pass here. Oh, they had injuries. No. Just straight out say it. Hey, Florida. You suck right now.
Well, the thing is this, though.
No, they suck.
No, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate for them.
Because you need talent to get those fumbles. But, you need talent. You need to have good coaching to make sure your players are in position to strip the ball and all that.
But what I'm doing is I'm just looking in retrospect and how everyone was singing the praises of Will Muschamp towards the end of that 2012 season.
Oh, not that many people.
He's done such a wonderful job.
No.
Dude,
no, there weren't that many.
Let's not forget
that,
week 13, there were people who thought that Florida should play in the national title game.
Throw out anybody from ESPN. Throw out anybody from an SEC network. And that's why I include ESPN, because ESPN is a heavy SEC homer as a group. Throw out all those people. People on the streets, people you talk to, people on national radio, not in an
SEC
territory.
We also live in Tallahassee, buddy.
Yes, no, but I'm...
We live in anti-Florida territory.
I'm stretching it out. Anybody on the West Coast, anybody in the... blogs, internet, there weren't that many people, credible people, with an objective viewpoint, not without any tint in their glasses, saying, oh my gosh, Florida's a good team. You just looked at Florida... And we're like, they're a mediocre team and they're getting bounces. And nobody was freaking, except for ESPN. Yes, but everyone knows ESPN would literally bend over backwards and do anything in their power to make the SEC look good. Because the SEC is currently where all the money in college football is made. All those teams are hyped and billed as the greatest ones because they had a hell of a run in the early 2000s. Not that it's going to continue, but I also can't say as to where it stands that it won't, but I'd be... You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say for the rest of this decade, there will only be 2 to 3 SEC teams that win the championship.
Yeah.
Out of 7 years, three of them.
That's
because
fair.
Here's the problem. The Pac-12 has now caught up to the SEC as a conference from a talent standpoint. I would pay great money to watch, you know, 2 mid-level teams, say, pick the 4 seed from each of the conference, play each other. The 1 seed from the conference. Back when LSU was playing Oregon in the national championship, and then again to open the season, where LSU squeaked by Oregon in the championship, but then absolutely demolished them in the regular season. Nowadays, you bring that matchup again, it's going to be a heck of a lot closer, and the Pac-12 team has a fighting shot at it now. Not because they're playing defense, but because it has just switched to this. Everything is just so set up.
So you're saying
offense.
You'd like to see Arizona State Ole Miss?
I think Arizona State would beat Ole Miss.
I do too. I do.
At Ole Miss.
In the Grove, Paul?
In the Grove.
Easy. Easy now.
In the Grove. It has finally balanced itself out. Now, granted, an ACC team won it last year. The only ACC team at the moment that has a program worth talking about, Florida State. And I can speak with some level of objectivity on Florida State, as they are not my first team in my heart. Nebraska will always be my first team. But the ACC, I heard about that. It's not going to be there. As a football conference, it's probably never going to make it there.
See, my thing with the ACC is... I don't think the ACC can never be the best simply because there are too many schools who aren't interested in putting the money in it. But can the ACC be a solid number 2 or number 3? I wholeheartedly agree.
Never. They will never be a 2. They will never be a 2.
Because the football schools that are there are so interested in getting money. And if you can just turn a couple schools. Because here's the thing.
I have the 4 schools. There are 4 schools in the ACC that have a shot at football. Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech.
You forgot Clemson.
Why would I want to include
You
them
forgot
again?
Louisville.
All right, when was the last time Clemson ever delivered?
I'm not telling you, but when's the last time Arkansas ever delivered? But they're still considered a great part of why the SEC is so great. Obviously not in the past season or so.
All right.
But traditionally, Arkansas is in there. See, here's the thing.
Clemson,
it's not about having all these teams that are always going to play for the national title. It's about having enough teams to battle test. People always talk about, well, the SEC strove strong because every week is a battle. Well, you know what? I'm telling you, I'm flipping a talking point on its ear right now. Because, here's the thing. If you have a team, if you have a bunch of teams that are vying for 8 wins, you have a viable, tough conference. And you can have that if Georgia Tech starts, if Georgia Tech just fires Paul Johnson, essentially.
And if Virginia Tech
just fires Frank Beamer.
Frank Beamer.
Miami? If Miami.
They just had 2 players get kicked off the team for raping an underage kid, so you know, yeah, maybe they're on their way.
You know, if
back to the glory days.
Easy, man.
Hey,
easy.
All right, maybe a little bit too much, but seriously, this is another point. It's not really to the subject, but to be a great program, unfortunately, Miami has set the standard back in the 80s. You have to have criminals on your team. Florida State followed that this year. They've had several players with legal disputes and all that. Every time there seems to be a championship, some of those players get caught doing things they shouldn't do. It's an unfortunate thing. It just happens. It's an unfortunate, I don't know, correlation, but you know, no team's immune from it. Those Nebraska teams back in the 90s, man. Oh, the rap sheet for those teams and the Florida State teams from the 90s. There's a reason they're called the criminals.
The Florida State teams, the Miami teams from the 90s, the early 90s were still bad. The Dennis Erickson Miami teams.
Oh, yeah. The 80s. There's a reason.
Spurrier's Florida teams.
Oh, man. Look, there's a reason that there was a national championship game called the Was that Miami Notre Dame for national championship?
No, that was a recurring rivalry game.
Criminals versus convicts. But
Catholics versus the convicts.
Catholics versus the convicts. Sorry, my bad. I said criminals versus convicts, didn't I? All right, you can sort that out. Then you had the national championship where it was Penn State at the time, the do-good symbol of righteousness versus Miami, and Penn State won that, and that was a huge thing. It was like, oh, Penn State, this noble institution who holds up all this thing. I'm not being sarcastic because of what happened. I'm just saying that was what happened back then. Didn't know what was going to happen. That was a thing, but and Alabama, they've had, oh, heck, Auburn. Cam Newton was just under scrutiny. Well, nothing was proven, but everyone knows people get paid to play big-time college
football. Everyone knows it happened.
Everyone knows you get paid to play big-time college football. You are kidding yourself if you think that this doesn't happen. And academic cheating is also, oh, Lord. That wasn't proven, but Cam Newton's academic cheating at Florida was proven. He was going to get kicked out.
No, it wasn't academic cheating. It was thievery.
No, it was thievery. It was theft and cheating. He had people writing his term papers for him. And he stole a laptop.
And then threw it out a window, yes.
You know, these people aren't saints, and not all of them are. Now, granted, let me just say this. Not everybody on these teams are horrible people. There are wonderful human beings on all of these teams. If you follow these teams closely, you know who those great people are. There are wonderful human beings on those teams. And there just happens to be a small percentage, 2 or 3 guys from each team that get caught on these things. But, you know, Brazil got beat really bad, I guess is the point we were making, isn't it?
Yeah. West Virginia just scored.
Essentially.
But, I mean, what else do you say about that game? Nice segue, by the way.
Yes, yes. Just putting a little bow on that and tying it all together. Really, honestly, Neymar went out and Brazil just said, Neymar's out, we're done.
Yeah, kind of.
They checked out. They checked out hard.
However.
And their coach, after the game, he put it on himself, which is good. But, man, those players, oof. I don't know. You hate to do this. You hate to do this to a team in the World Cup in the semifinals, but you got to look at those guys and say, I don't think they went out there with the desire to win. I can't 100% blame them because Neymar is the heart and soul of that team. And, you know, from an uneducated, you know, viewpoint such as myself, that team was Neymar or bust. just as Argentina is largely Lionel Messi and bust, and Portugal's Ronaldo and bust. But that team that went out there, Hulk.
Hulk did no smash.
No. Joe. Oh, snap, who's that other guy?
Fred
was a no-show.
Yeah.
No-show. And that one goal they scored was literally, like, the end of garbage time. It was scored in stoppage time or something like that. I had checked out of that game because I was traveling home, came in 20 minutes late, and it was already 4-0. Within 2 minutes of me having the TV on, it was 5-0. But those guys got to take a hard look at themselves and say, what is our drive? I'm not calling them Landon Donovan because they showed up to the game. But a team needs to take a look at itself and say, who are we as a team? What can we do to improve ourselves? What does Brazil as a country need to do to improve, to make this better? Was this a coaching thing? Were we not motivated properly by the coach? Because the coach took a heck of a little on himself, too. Draws into question whether or not he will be back for another World Series cycle.
World Cup cycle.
World Cup cycle. My apologies.
World Series cycle.
Whatever.
It seems like we only play the World Series once every 4 years.
Yeah.
Just because baseball season's so long, but...
Yeah.
But whatever. Anyway, so the question remains. I mean, I've pretty much told you that I think Germany's going to win this from the get-go. Think Germany wins?
I have to think Germany's going to win, because after today's win, where Argentina won in penalty kicks, there's some second-guessing going on to that. late in overtime, the Netherlands had one substitution, and they chose to take Robin Van Persie out and subbed him out and did not put in their amazing goalkeeper, who it seems the sole purpose he's on the team for is PKs, because he's something like 7 foot something or the other and has crazy instincts. And we all saw him in that game against Costa Rica, was it? Where he just snuffed the life out of those guys.
And see, here's the thing. Argentina just keeps, Argentina keeps winning these, very, very low-scoring games that I don't see it happening. I think Germany's going to get their goals.
Oh, they will, because the Netherlands, what worse was, when it came to PKs, they started off with a defender kicking the first one, and I'm not exactly 100%, the authority on penalty kicks, but you kind of want to make the first one. It's really important, and I'm not sure if having a fullback who is not a traditional goal scorer be the opening man is the best strategy. You'd want a midfielder or a striker, someone who's accustomed to taking these things more often. I know you practice these things, but still, not necessarily the instincts, and he had a bad kick. So there's a lot of second-guessing going on, but then again, if the goaltender from the Netherlands blocks those shots, or if the fullback makes that first one, none of this is coming up, so really kind of a moot point, but Argentina and the Netherlands both, off the top of my head, I want to say they, out of those two teams, they've played more hours than the best... I know they've played more hours than Germany. So they've got more mileage on their tread. They're going to be much more tired. Their game was closer to the final on Saturday. So, and the German machine, I just don't know what you do to stop it. Yeah. I just don't know what you can do.
Yep, I think it moves forward. But anyway, we move on.
Moving on.
We go on.
Moving on up.
Baseball's happening.
Yeah.
The All-Star break is soon.
Yes, it is.
And it's led
next
us...
Next week.
And it's led us to think about the best, not just of baseball, but of one of our favorite sects of baseball. Poking fat guys.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Fat Guy All-Star Team. Cue the music. Now, how we're going to do this
is through a AL roster, so there will be a designated hitter.
Because there's a lot of fat guys, and if you listen to the show, I think you know who we're going to already slot in at that designated hitter slot.
Pepe.
Yeah.
So let's just go ahead and take
the fattest of
Pepe. Pepe
leading off the designated hitter.
First baseman, fresh off his delicious cover of ESPN the magazine.
Oh.
And I mean that as sarcastic and gut-wrenchingly as possible, Prince Fielder.
Oh, man. Let's face it. This guy has never even won. This guy said, knew all of his life, I'm going to be a first baseman. I'm never going to take more than 6 steps in a game. I'm not stealing any bases. I'm just going to keep my left foot on first, hold my glove out, and all I'm going to do is hit.
Second baseman? Second baseman's tough because
usually a lot of svelte guys play second base.
Yeah, it's usually for in shape people because it's not for the faint of heart.
It's a tough one, second base. Often a very overlooked spot on a roster. You can't really, there's not a lot of them out there, but
however, there is one. The 5'11" Dodgers powerhouse weighing in at 230 pounds, Juan Uribe.
And even then, that's not very fat, but
yeah.
Second base standards.
For base, I was about to say, for
second
baseball.
Base, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. All right, let's get to the shortstop.
Jeter. I'm kidding.
Yes, Derek Jeter, fattest guy in baseball at shortstop.
But a man who's made his rounds through my Tigers, he's made his rounds through your Cardinals, he's gone to the Yankees, Johnny Peralta.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's been a little chubby over once
in
a while.
Yeah, he's gotten skinnier, but man.
You know what? Let me just go ahead and sub him out for a utility player. Let's put Pablo Sandoval there.
You want Pablo?
I want Pablo Sandoval. He's a utility player. He can do it. Granted, he's also lost some weight, but man, he's still a big one.
All right, third baseman.
Oh, easy.
Miggy.
Easy.
Miggy?
Miggy.
Oh, yeah.
Miggy C.
Yeah, when Miggy got his money, that's when Miggy was like, you know what? I'll see you boys at the buffet. Go Tigers.
And his DUIs and spring training in Florida. On the way to a game. Oh, man. Showing up at ballparks just absolutely smashed. Oh, that's not what you do, kids.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Hit the triple crown, yes. Alcoholism, no.
Catcher.
Gotta go with one of the Molina brothers.
Jose.
He is the largest of the Molina brothers. And is he still in the league?
I believe Mr. Molina is still in the league.
I mean, it's hard to say, but if he's not, he's still current enough that he gets to sit in there. As he's not gonna do all much right. Running, so that's all he's gonna be.
Outfielders.
Doing. Outfielders.
Lance Berkman.
They put him out there in the outfield a couple times.
Yes, they did.
Oh, man. Yeah, Lance Berkman's there. Let's go ahead. Let's see. Who do we got, man, in center field? Who's another rather large outfielder?
Who do I have as an outfielder?
Yeah.
Let's go.
You know what?
John Kruk.
I thought John Kruk was a catcher.
John Kruk played infield and outfield.
Oh, man. John Kruk. All right. Well, then I'm gonna give you a left fielder then. He's not. Actually, he is somewhat still in the league. Not really. He is down in the minor leagues as a player coach. Stop me if you know what I'm gonna say.
Go for it.
Manny Ramirez.
Really,
that was a lot of question
Manny.
About Manny Ramirez. He always wore those baggy jerseys. You couldn't quite tell. He's getting put in there. You could tell.
Just because he left some to the imagination?
Well, he left some to the imagination. He never had any hustle, and he used women's birth control for steroids or something like that, or fertility drugs.
Something genius.
And I'm sure he put on some weight.
Yeah. So let me get this straight. We're supposed to be mad at him for doing it. Reggie Wayne gets a pass for that. Fertility drugs, whatever. Man. Then, of course, the starting pitcher
now
has to be CeCe.
Oh, he's lost a lot of weight, though.
But historically,
yes.
We'll remember Fat CeCe.
Oh, we will. Fat CeCe was always the best. Closer, Heath Bell.
You're going closer, Heath Bell?
Enter Sandman, sir. Yeah, to see that Jolly Giant jogging out of the bullpen at Petco Park.
Sir, first of all, there's only one Enter Sandman in baseball.
It's him?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay, who is it?
Dude, you know exactly who it is.
No, I don't.
It's Mo.
All right.
However, I gotta tell you, my closer, oh, it's Bobby Jenks.
Oh, wait, wait.
Bobby Jenks of the Chicago White Sox.
Hell's Bells? Which one? Oh, he might have been Hell's Bells.
I believe it was.
Hell's Bells. I'm not a Padres fan. I don't know any Padres fan. Do you?
No, I don't know any.
Sorry. All right, if you're a Padres fan listening to this, awesome. Nice to meet you.
Craig literally just stuck out his hand for you to shake.
You are such a strange person to meet.
It's kind of weird, but
how long have you been a Padres fan? To the non-existent
person. Is that like a real thing, man?
Yeah, is that a thing? I was like, are you just there for Comic-Con? I don't know.
But anyway, manager?
There's one.
Who do you think? Because I know we're going to differ here.
Lou Piniella.
You got Lou Piniella?
I got Lou Piniella.
I got Bobby Cox.
Bobby Cox? Yeah, he could fill out a pair of trousers. Let me just pause for a second now. Baseball managers have the worst uniform ever. They're generally old men, quite often out of shape. There is nothing as, I'm not sure if this is the proper use of the word, as uninspiring, I believe it is, uninspiring as Joe Torre, Lou Piniella, Bobby Cox, literally any old guy wearing a baseball uniform. What do you have to wear the uniform that the players do? You're not trotting out on the field. You're not about to run out there and snag some pop flies. What are you doing dressing like... Have some self-respect. Wear a suit. Wear a tracksuit at least. I don't know. A sweater vest? A leather... God forbid, a leather jacket? Granted, that one's tough to pull off. There's only one man who pulls that off. It'll be Jack the River.
Leather jacket? No. Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn.
I said coaches.
Oh.
And also not fictitious.
Al Davis. Characters. Al Davis pulled him off back in the day.
Well, he was more of a tracksuit guy.
No, Al in his early days, though.
Yes, he was, but the Mortensen Al Davis is a tracksuit.
I know.
Everyone will remember Al Davis for his tracksuits.
They will. That they will.
I wonder if you ever marketed an Al Davis line of tracksuits. Probably not. Anyways, that concludes EB4D's Token Fat Guys of Baseball.
But you know what? We're going to continue with the baseball theme here for a little bit. Because
we are.
We kicked off something last week about college football stadiums we'd like to go to. And it got us thinking about more on our bucket list. So ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this week's edition of the EB4D Stadium Series.
All right, okay. I like the name, all right. So
yeah, that was on the fly. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we didn't name that last week. That was kind of,
You're welcome.
That's kind of our bad for not naming that next week.
You're welcome.
Welcome
it's
back.
It's just going to be a little bit until Gary Bettman thinks I owe him money.
Yeah, he might owe Gary Bettman some money. Anyways.
But Gary Bettman hates hockey, so
yes,
he does.
And we're not talking hockey today, so
no, we're talking Major League Baseball, full of iconic venues, historic ballparks, and great places to watch a game. So we've decided that we're going to give, in honor of the three division, it doesn't necessarily have to be one from each division, but three ballparks apiece from the American League and the National League. American League, who you got, Craig?
American League, I'm going to start it off with, I'd like to go visit Kansas City. They have a beautiful ballpark, and their team's been better as of late, so it would be bearable to watch a game there. That, and, of course, other variables we mentioned, city life, other things in the city, and there happen to be many fine barbecue joints in Kansas City I would not mind hitting up. Heck, I might not even make it to the ballpark. Okay, I'll make it to the ballpark, but after many, many racks of ribs.
Jeez.
What are you going to do when you go to Kansas City?
I would eat a singular rack of ribs.
Pay
okay. Anyway.
I go to a mecca of barbecue. I'm not just hitting one place up. I'm going to like three of them. I'm figuring out who is the best.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and turn my Homer card in and get this out of the way. Comerica Park is a beautiful ballpark. I have been there. I want to go back so desperately. The Detroit Tigers.
Look, even if you're not a homer, it's a beautiful park. And let's face it, there are some times when you're a homer and you wouldn't want to go to the park. Athletics. Coliseum.
Braves.
Well, the Braves are doing something about it. The Athletics would like to stay there.
And if there was such thing as a Rays homer...
Moving on.
Just let it lie and move on.
A little tidbit about the Coliseum first.
Okay, go for it.
All right, we talked about this before the show, but the Athletics would like to keep staying in the Coliseum as their home for some reason. Apparently, they like sewage seeping up into their locker room. But the Oakland Raiders, they want to have it demolished in 2015 and build a whole new revitalizing area for the state. But apparently the city of Oakland still owes hundreds of millions of dollars on the stadium that they renovated in 1995. They still owe over $100 million. And the guy who's in charge of the Oakland Coliseum, and I quote, says, "It's either smoke and mirrors or they're on crack." Basically, the Coliseum isn't going anywhere.
Which is a grand thing. Which means neither is the now tarped Mount Davis.
Bring out your tops!
# entrenched fanbase.
Bring out your tops!
# entrenched fanbase.
Tops for sale!
No, it's not tarps. It is the world's largest singular tarp.
You know, how come they don't bill that as an attraction? Don't you generally want to bill, "We have the world's largest
tarp"?
I mean, Jacksonville now has the world's largest LED giant, boards. Dallas used to. You know, wouldn't you want to say, "Hey, we have the largest tarp in the world"?
Can I tell you one of the best things as a Jacksonville fan? One of the best things about the scoreboard? Houston had the world's largest scoreboards for a season. Yeah. It's kind of funny. The thing is, I think we've gotten to the point where now that we've built ones that literally go from side of the field to side of the field, I don't know if anyone's going to be able to top this unless they do it taller.
No. Well, they're going to do it taller and they're going to do 360.
Jeez, man, easy. Because that takes out seats.
No, you can do it on one of those open stadiums at the top. Hey, look, they'll just charge more. There'll be luxury seats. But seriously, don't you want your picture with the world's largest tarp?
I do.
Not sure as
I do.
Oh, well, enjoy the sewage.
I do. But anyway,
moving on.
We start with Comerica Park.
My second AL is going to have to be... I'm making a trip to Yankee Stadium.
So am I. I mean, it's...
You kind of have to.
And you don't really have to say much more.
Even if it's
not the Yankee Stadium that Ruth built, it's still got all the pizzazz and the history and the tradition that is Yankees baseball.
And you just heard how nice it is.
Yeah. And you want to be a part of it. New York.
Yeah.
New York.
You know, it's much more bearable. I believe it would be more bearable to watch a Yankees game than it would be to watch one of the next teams popping up, as I believe the Boston Stadium might be on your list.
No. I'd take the Fenway trip, but not over a trip to Camden Yards.
Camden Yards it is for you.
I'd go to Baltimore. That's a gorgeous ballpark, a good baseball team. Who doesn't like Buck Showalter?
Communists.
Exactly. So, but I mean, the O's are, let's face it, the only likable Baltimore sports team.
Well, they only have two at the moment.
Yes, and no one likes the Ravens, so.
No, except for people in Baltimore. That's their prerogative. For me...
Ray Lewis killed a guy.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. This segment has been brought to you by the word...
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
For me, I'm going to finish it off with a stadium that no longer exists, Jacobs Field. May it rest in peace.
Yes.
The stadium still stands, but the name doesn't.
Oh, it does not.
But I would go to Jacobs. That's probably the only thing I'd go to in Cleveland is Jacobs. Yeah.
I'd go to Brown Stadium or whatever Haslam's named it now.
Even bad.
And we even talked about that's the place where we'd go in that division last week.
Even bad teams in baseball win games. Bad teams in football, they don't win games. And I'm sorry, but and allegedly coked up Johnny Manziel is not going to win you games. Brought to you by allegedly once again.
Anyway. Yeah, so number
three. All right, NL.
The NL. NL, I know you don't want to go here, but how do you say no to Wrigley Field? It's old. It's historic. It's the friendly confines. It's the ivy. It's take me out to the ballgame. It's
Death
Harry Carey.
Drunk frat boys.
It's Steve Bartman.
Drunk boys. Drunk frat kids who are really obnoxious. Bad.
Frat kids in Chicago.
I've heard it's a thing.
Okay.
I've heard it's a thing.
Okay, moving on.
So you're on the north side now. You're on the north side. This is the south side. This isn't, you know, the seedier, deadlier side of Chicago.
Okay.
No.
All right, whatever.
There's a goddamn. And let's face it, the place is a dump. It needs to be torn down and rebuilt.
Well...
Not called Wrigley Field again.
You could say the same thing about Fenway.
Yeah, except for Fenway has done a better job of maintaining itself.
Fenway still smells like urine.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? It's Boston.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I'm going to go, and if you want to call it my homer card, it's, again...
Busch Stadium.
Still, one of the nicest stadiums.
And it's a place I'd like to go to, too.
And again, with the town,
it's on my list.
There's, I don't know, granted, St. Louis isn't exactly safe haven everywhere. Just stay out of East St. Louis. Don't go to East St. Louis. Don't cross the river.
If you can't swim the tide.
Oh, good Lord. There's nice places in St. Louis. There's lots of nice places. Gateway Arch to go watch. Just look at it. Gateway to the West. Historic town stuff. I do that. Who's your third one?
PNC Park.
PNC Park.
Pittsburgh Pirates. The Buccos have themselves one heck of a ballpark, and it overlooks the bridges and the rivers of Pittsburgh right across from downtown. It's one of the few things that can make Pittsburgh look really, really nice.
I believe it's the only thing you have said that makes Pittsburgh look really nice, which is why I still question you highly for saying, I want to go to this stadium. Granted, the town. Woo, no. Stadium, yes. Town, no.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I got to go. My two stadiums from the NL, other than that, would be Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Look at me hitting the Ohio
the Natty.
Hitting the Ohio circuit.
We're going to the Natty.
Going to the Natty. But seriously, that's a great ballpark. I would go there for opening day to watch the Cardinals play them, because that's the opening day series. It's Cardinals at Reds. And it's always in Cincinnati. So, kind of have to go there. If I want to watch Cardinals on opening day. And then my other one would be... the San Francisco Giants.
AT&T Park?
Yes. Or whatever it's called now.
It's AT&T Park.
Or what did it used to be called Pacific Bell Park?
I think, maybe.
Yeah. Who can keep
whatever.
Track
it's a
of-
nice ballpark right on the bay. Gorgeous. Good baseball. Buster Posey.
Giant bottle of Coke and the glove.
No, it's Pepsi. It's Pepsi.
It's Pepsi?
Son, this is Major League Baseball. Yes, it's Pepsi.
I thought it was Coke.
No, I believe it to be Pepsi.
I think it's Coke. I'm not a fan. I don't recall. Giant bottle of soda and a giant lit up glove in the background. Never got that, but I always thought that was cool. Another stadium. That like, just with that dark brick, just like Camden Yards. And that in San Francisco is also an awesome town.
That it is.
San Francisco is an awesome town. Because it's not Oakland.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
So that was fun.
Yep. I never picked a third, though.
Yeah, you did. You said Chicago.
Oh, yes, of course I did. I'm sorry.
You said Chicago, St. Louis, and then you said...
Never.
Do you have a wild card, though? Anyone else that you'd like to go to?
Honestly?
Because I got one. It's in a bad part of town. But, man, it's historic. It's wonderful. And I just want to hug Vin Scully. Can I go to Dodger Stadium?
All right. By the way, I should mention that the Dodgers were found liable for that man's beating at the parking lot.
That they were, but I don't plan on wearing Giants stuff to the
Dodgers. Yeah, or just don't wear colors at all for any team.
Unless it's blue.
Make it an enigma. No, don't even wear blue, man.
Just wear all black.
No, I don't even know.
Or Ducks jersey.
Nah, you're in the wrong part of town.
Yeah, that's Kings country.
You're in the wrong part of town.
You can get shanked there, so therefore it's Kings country.
Sir, Anaheim in its of itself is also has its seedy elements. Disney World is there, sir.
Fair enough.
If I have ever seen a place that rips people off and steals their money, it's Disneyland.
This is also true.
Slash World.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to this edition of Eastbound and Fourth Down. Thank you for bearing with us. We had quite the show today.
Hey, it's summer. Oh, to quote a great radio personality,
the drive-bys have decided that they want Hillary to be wrong radio person.
Way wrong radio person. There's nothing to talk about in the summer. There's pretty much dead, so we are basically begging for team content. Looking for team content.
Can I get Rush Limbaugh doing the jungle gibberal? Let's try this.
I don't understand it. Why can't they just take the money? Listen, when somebody tells you it's not about the money, you can take it to the bank. It's about the money. That was the best, worst thing I've ever done.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to the phones.
That was pretty good.
There you go.
All right.
But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to enter our world of weirdness, you can do it on our Facebook page, Eastbound and Fourth Down. You can follow us on Twitter at EB4D_podcast. And hey, you can just keep listening to us because we like you like that. However you're listening to us, we surely do appreciate it. But I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Greg Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?